you've been paying any attention to the world around you, you know something is surely happening. There's been talk about this golden age starting, and I believe that to be true. However, it's only the golden age for the tech elites, because I'm going to reveal to you the script they are executing and how this all ties into a spiritual battle with the Antichrist AI. The Dark Enlightenment series starts today, and you absolutely must listen because your spirituality depends upon it. Today we start our Dark Enlightenment series deep dive. This is a special, a multi-part special. In part one, today, we're going to do an overview of the series and why you absolutely must listen to the full analysis, part one, two, three, and four. I'll explain the terms, the philosophies, and most importantly, the plans for you and your family that the tech elites are rolling out as we speak. Undeniably, we're going to lay out the New World Order Great Reset that they finally started to execute. And we're going to talk about the people making a run for how this has always been the plan for us. This has always been in the occult plans. All the books and the literature I've read over the years, it all comes together right here in the Dark Enlightenment series. Specifically in part one, we're going to look at a philosopher named Curtis Yarvin, who's got every politician, every tech billionaire in a chokehold, and how his ideas to basically destroy the U.S. Constitution are taking place right now, and they're gonna replace it with their vision, which is the CEO philosopher king, and this fits into the Platonic Empire fantasies of the occult for hundreds of years that they've always talked about, that they've always wanted it. We're gonna talk about Peter Thiel, magic realism, 15-minute cities, libertarianism, authoritarianism, J.D. Vance, the Overton Window, Nazi propaganda, Keck, and so much more. This is going to be the most eye-opening and maybe even disturbing series I've ever done. A slight detour from what I normally talk about with occult symbolism. But then in part two, we're going to pick right back up into the occult stuff. Because as you're going to find out, it's all connected. To who? Satan. That's right. I'm the satanic grifter, and I'm here to fearmonger Satan. That's what they say. That's what the comment section says, so why not? Why not lean into that, right? So first, we're going to do a semi-brief breakdown of what the Dark Enlightenment is and what this series is going to cover, okay? So even if you're like already bored, you're like, Curtis Yarvin, who cares? Who are these people? Listen to this part. And I assure you, after you listen to this, you're going to say, wow, Isaac, this is some prophetic, revelatory stuff you're dropping on us. And I want to start out with a passage from Douglas Rushkoff's 1996 book, Media Virus. The pages are yellow, folks. And shout out Dr. Anteater. He sent me this book, years ago. And it's very good. I need to reread it. Because it's got the whole thing baked into it. Excuse me. It says, here's the part I want to read to you. It is the media activists, most of all, who depend on a worldview that accepts that a tiny virus launched creatively and distributed widely can topple systems of thought as established as organized religion and institutions as well-rooted as, say, the Republican Party or even the two-party system altogether. This is why it's so important that we understand that, at least as far as media activists are concerned, viruses are not a bad thing. True, biological viruses, when successful, can destroy the host organism. If they invade and take control of enough cells, they redirect vital functions that the host needs in order to survive. Media viruses do target a host organism, but that beast is not culture as a whole. They target the systems and the faulty code that have taken control of the culture and inhibited the natural chaotic flow of energy and information. And that, my friends, is what they're trying to do. That book talks about memes and meme magic and memism and chaos magic and Aleister Crowley and like wild stuff with technology. Again, this is actually the revised, updated part redo of the book from 1996. All right, he wrote this in 1994. This one's from 96. And I've hinted on a lot of these subjects and topics in the past, but this is going to be a very comprehensive breakdown of how it fits into what's happening today and what the Dark Enlightenment is. So to understand the Dark Enlightenment, we need to consider a variety of terms, philosophies, and characters who've manifested this nonsense into our existence and forcing us to deal with it. So these next four episodes that I've got lined up for you are going to go through the whole thing. And here's an overview of what you're in for, okay? The Dark Enlightenment is a movement, it's a coup of the American democracy, and I'm not saying that in the sensational conspiracy theorist way. And look, I fully realize I've now become Alex Jones in a way. I get it. But like and there's not a whole lot of stuff that you hard press me to say, because you know I'm a pretty rational, skeptical kind of dude. And there's not a whole lot of theories that I would firmly plant and be like, no, this is happening. This is one of the few that I'm like, oh, this is happening. I have zero doubts. But it is a coup. And if you don't believe me, if you're like, oh, you granola wokester, here you go. You got to listen to these four episodes. I assure you, you will say, well, maybe he's right. But you're probably going to say, oh, wow, he is right. And maybe you're even still like, yeah, but that's fine. And I normally would say that's okay, but it's not okay. This is America. I served active duty to support the Constitution. And I'm telling you right now, this is not okay. And if you are fooled into thinking that these nerds are going to make the world better for you, you are sadly mistaken. If you're fooled into thinking billionaires are going to try to make your life better, you are sadly mistaken. You have not been paying attention. So the Dark Enlightenment is a coup of the American democracy. They want to destroy liberalism and egalitarianism. Now, if you're like, oh, what is that? You know, liberal, oh, yuck. You know, no, it's the sense of, and this is just like the dummies version, it's the sense of equal rights. It's the sense of progressiveness in the terms of, like, everyone gets a fair shake, and I support that, right? If you pay taxes, guess what? You get equal rights, you know? If you're a citizen, whatever. You know what I'm saying. But egalitarianism just means equality, basically. And they want to replace this current democracy system with an authoritarian, that's like a police state, an authoritarian monarch corporation. They call this the neo-cameralism. And what this is, it's the New World Order. It's the Great Reset. It's all the things that we've been worried about. And they want it to be run by a CEO. They call him the CEO King. That's where the sort of authoritarian monarch idea comes in. Basically, they think the whole government and the country should be run like a business. You've heard this many times in the past. A corporation. And then there's this group of techno elites. That's all the people you saw line up at the inauguration. Your Zuckerbergs, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Google CEO, whatever his name is, Peter Thiel, like all these like Silicon Valley nerds. Okay, they're the tech elites. They're the techno elites, and they will manage under the CEO King that they instill. They're going to manage what they call the network states. This is the Platonic Empire that we've read about. When I read to you years ago, Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, I read excerpts at some point. I don't remember which episode. But in The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall, the Freemason, he talked about having this new, the Francis Bacon, New Atlantis, same thing. It was this idea of creating the Plato's Platonic Empire. And the new empire is to be run by scientists and technocrats. and you saw all the truther movement rallying against the idea of 15-minute cities. And I'm telling you, this is what they want to make. And they're actually doing it. I'm going to talk about this in depth in part four. This is, look up Freedom Cities. That's what they're called Freedom Cities right now. But it's like the same concept, just with different names, you know. And when we look at some of the philosophies, which we'll do as we go through the series, we're going to talk about neo-reactionary. This is the thought that fuels the Dark Enlightenment. It's the belief that democracy, the U.S. Constitution, the United States way of life, is prone to corruption and deeply flawed. And it looks at the popular opinions of the masses, the mouth breathers, right? That's how they look at us. They call us the parasite class. Aleister Crowley says the slave shall serve. That's how they view us, right? We're the slaves. We're the parasite class. We're the problem. And this all fuels eugenics, nonsense ways of thinking. But it thinks that the reason it thinks democracy is flawed is because we have a system where we vote for our politicians to rule the country. And it's like, why would you look to the mouth breathers to who they think should rule the country? They shouldn't have a say in this, right? Who should have a say in it? The tech elites, they're the geniuses. They're the smartest ones here, the smartest ones in the room. So they believe this will lead to the decline of society, kind of like an idiocracy. And look, there's elements of this that you're kind of like, I don't know, maybe that is kind of true. Because I look at that too. I'm like, I don't know, there's a lot of dumb people out there. But that doesn't matter. This is a good system. We do not abandon it. We just improve it. All right? So to prevent this decline of society, they believe we need an authoritarian figure to run the country, like a CEO of a business. And it's going to be managed by the tech elites, your Jeff Bezos, Zuckerbergs, Elon Musks, because they're so much more intelligent and stable, obviously, right? Obviously. So all these Silicon Valley billionaires, a lot of the crypto bro community, some of the alt-right white nationalists, and occult magician Satanists have found a common goal. And I'm going to explain that over these four episodes of why that is and prove it to you. And the inspiration comes from a mix of eugenics type ideas mixed with Darwinian theory, like social Darwinianism, like the Church of Satan was into. Because there is a strong racial component to all of this. In fact, if you read one of the philosophers we'll talk about in part two, Nick Land, he wrote the book, an essay called Dark Enlightenment, and two-thirds of the book, he's talking about race. It's not entirely a white nationalist movement, but there's a lot of overlaps. And you're going to find that all these groups we talk about, they have overlapping interests. And my view is, it's like three or four gangs took over the country, and they're trying to sort of like overthrow it. And then when they get control, then they'll fight it out as to which vision we get to deal with. We're going to talk about the philosophers that influence this pursuit of the Dark Enlightenment, including Curtis Yarvin, that's today's subject, blogger alias Mencius Moldbug. We'll talk about Nick Land. We'll talk about the Silicon Valley elites, the alt-right libertarian types like Peter Thiel and Elon Musk, and how they've endorsed all this philosophy. Politicians like J.D. Vance openly have been talking about these philosophies. And Nick Land, that part two is where it's going to get ultra fascinating. Part one is like, I'm going to lay the foundation. We're going to talk about this Curtis Yarvin guy a little bit. But part two, three, and four are going to blow your mind. We're going to talk about, because part two, we talk about Nick Land, who advocates for this nihilist, quasi-racist, transhumanist philosophy called accelerationism. Accelerationism. Yeah, that's right. Because in his 2012 Dark Enlightenment essay, the one that has like two-thirds of it, he's talking about race. He was pushing for accelerationism, hypercapitalism, AI, and techno-authoritarianism. Friedrich Nietzsche comes up often in this analysis. He hated Christianity. He hated liberalism. He inspired historical figures like Adolf Hitler with his will to power and the Übermensch Superman with his eugenics nonsense. A guy named Julius Evola is a philosopher that some of his stuff is inspired by some of these things. He was an alt-right traditionalist who hated modernity and the modern age and liberalism. And he also wanted an sort of a autocratic-ish aristocracy, a hierarchy of society. He inspired Steve Bannon. We talked about him many times. We're going to talk about Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley venture capitalist billionaire, co-founder of PayPal and Palantir. He funnels money behind all this. I think he's one of the heads of the snake, as it were, one of the architects of our miserable future. He said, quote, "I no longer believe that freedom and democracy are compatible." Elon Musk, obviously. His grandfather was part of a movement that tried to make this happen 100 years ago. Technocracy Incorporated. Literally the front man for the Illuminati. And part four is all about the world's richest man. Mark, well, for now he is. Keep protesting, folks. Knock that nerd off his feet. Mark Andreessen, again, another Silicon Valley billionaire dude, amplifying today's subject, Curtis Yarvin, and his idea of network states, aka 15-minute cities. Balaji Srinivasan, another venture capitalist pushing for network state, 15-minute cities. Steve Bannon, who's critiqued democracy and advocates for traditionalism. Probable architect of the Keck meme magic thing, which is going to fit into what we talk about in this series. And the occult, right? Because you can find information about the Dark Enlightenment online in various corners of the internet. Whitney Webb's doing up a series right now on it. But no one's talking about the occult. Well, maybe not no one. Not many people are talking about the occult. Because that's what's fascinating, is that we've covered this over the years, and you find that these philosophies are baked with occultism, inspired by them. Because they're using occult practices to do all of these things. A thing called hyperstition that we'll talk about, chaos magic, meme magic, Keck, right? Satanism, and even child abuse. We're going to tie some of these rituals, and people that are into these philosophies were part of the Balenciaga scandal. They're trying to manifest a new reality through occult ritual magic in the cyberspace. And you know, if you've heard all the conspiracies about, oh, the Simpsons always predict the future, well, I mean, that's hyperstition. This is the nerd occult science of manifesting strange and hideous realities through a pop culture fictional lens. I explained a similar concept in my Alien book series, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, now available on Amazon and Audible, self-narrated. Aliens, UFOs, and the occult. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. And the spirituality of the Dark Enlightenment will directly plug into Aleister Crowley, of course, the Order of Nine Angles, another satanic magic group, H.P. Lovecraft, non-human entities, dark forces taking over our humanity. Because what they want to do, and again, I'm not being sensational, this is their own philosophy, and I will prove it to you over these four episodes. They want to destroy humanity completely and accelerate the technological singularity and allow AI to take over our minds and bodies. And in the part four, in the final episode, I'm going to reveal to you that Elon Musk is the Antichrist. We're going to go through a theory, you know, allegedly a theory I'm building, that Elon Musk put a Neuralink chip in his brain, and he's now possessed by a disembodied AI demon that he channeled into it. And you're going to be shocked when you find out that he has been talking about this for years, fulfilling a Faustian bargain called Rocco's Basilisk. And if you don't know what that means, you're going to find out. because it turns out that's how he hooked up with Grimes, because she was into this too, because she's evil nerd too. And finally, why? Why should you even listen to this? You're probably thinking, well, gosh, you just have Trump derangement syndrome, Isaac. On the contrary. I think he might be our only hope, which is bleak. But I think if we can raise awareness of what's going on, that we can maybe slow this thing down, stop it. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But I know that this Dark Enlightenment series lines up everything I've studied and researched going back to my first book in 2012, the plans the elites have for a golden age. I talked about this in my very first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory from 2012. If you haven't read it, go to my website and get it for free. IlluminatiWatcher.com. Up top, you'll see in the menu tab, free book. You sign up for my free email newsletter, and I'll send it to you for free. There's a whole chapter I devoted to the golden age. And there's many areas where I talk about the digital matrix. Everything shockingly holds up. And what's a real bummer is I handed that book to Joe Rogan himself back in like 2014. I'm like, Joe, you didn't read the book. He probably threw it in the garbage of the hotel. Because the golden age is the golden age for the elites. We are not the elites. We are the slaves. We are the parasite class. We get the digital matrix. And if you're a Christian, you need to listen, because you'll find out the motivation behind all of this is Luciferian demonic possession. And what they want is the destruction of God's creation. And they're going to do it through technology. Even if you're not a Christian, you should be mad that about the plans that the elites have for you. And this series is going to dive into each of these topics. I'll prove it to you. I will warn you, it's more black pill territory than usual. So if you're like already stressed out and losing sleep, maybe you're barely surviving, maybe take this in small doses. I'll try to lighten it up where I can. And after these four episodes, I'm back to the regularly scheduled program. I got some really good stuff coming. The Heretic film analysis, everyone's been clamoring for. I'm working it. I got it going. I got some cool interviews lined up. You're going to love it. So for the Dark Enlightenment series, four episodes coming. Part one is today, Curtis Yarvin. And today's episode is going to be, when we talk about Curtis Yarvin, it might be a little more boring than normal. All right. But you got to work. You got to understand who he is to understand why this movement took hold, how it's based in racist, hateful, anti-Christian ideology. But then you got to come back for part two, three, and four, because those are going to be absolutely fascinating. I assure you. Part two, we're going to talk about Nick Land and this accelerationism philosophy, the CCRU, this occult cybernetic apocalypse. This is where the thing started. And he was an occultist. And then part three, we're going to talk about these far-right satanic Nazi magic groups. The title alone is interesting enough. Part four, we're going to talk about Elon Musk being the Antichrist possessed by the chip in his dumb brain. And how he also, through his family bloodline, it wants to instill the Illuminati's New Atlantis. So, without further ado, let's talk about Curtis Yarvin. First off, like, why even care, right? Who's Curtis Yarvin? Maybe you never heard of him. Who cares, right? Well, Peter Thiel said that Curtis Yarvin was his most important connection. Curtis Yarvin told Milo Yiannopoulos that he was privately coaching Peter Thiel at his home. He also watched the 2016 election at Peter Thiel's house. So these two are intertwined. And Peter Thiel, I'm sure you know who he is, huge funder of all this stuff going on. J.D. Vance has cited Yarvin as an influence. Others in the administration have openly discussed Yarvin's ideas. Michael Anton from Trump's State Department told Yarvin how he will install an American Caesar. That's the CEO king that we're going to talk about when we break down the philosophy. Mark Andreessen said he's had Yarvin over for dinner. Yarvin attended the Trump inauguration gala in January, Balaji Srinivasan said in 2013 that we should have a society run by Silicon Valley, run by the tech elites. You know, he's been on Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk. I'm sorry. Curtis Yarvin's been on Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, and interviewed by New York Times and a bunch of places, right? So you probably heard the name. Well, let's talk about the ideas and who is Curtis Yarvin. And I consulted a variety of sources. And the best one that I would recommend is a reporter named Julia Black. She interviewed him. She researched the Dark Enlightenment. She had a couple articles on information.com? Oh, The Information. But it's paywalled, right? $399 a year. Ooh. So luckily, on the Tech Won't Save Us podcast in October of 2024, the host interviews Julia Black. And it's interesting because it immediately grabbed my attention because he plays a little quote clip from the interview. And she's talking about how the spoken word can become reality. So I was like, we're on the right path. Here we go. And she talks about Curtis Yarvin as a nerd philosopher king. Gotta love that. And this guy, he was a blogger. He is. Who talks about getting rid of the free press and having a state-run media and such. Which is ironic because he got his start by blogging, and if you have a state-run media, they're going to censor the blogs they disagree with, right? That's how that works. So I'm not sure if he put that together. I mean, his philosophy already falls apart immediately. I don't know why we're listening to these people. And this is the guy who's responsible for the Dark Enlightenment, in a way. Nick Land is a component of this, but apparently Curtis Yarvin's the guy. He also is the guy behind neo-reactionary thinking. What does that mean? Well, it's like anti-democracy, anti-equality. Society should be run by elites. We should just go ahead and do it. And Peter Thiel, obviously been influenced by Yarvin and his philosophies, as I mentioned earlier. Curtis Yarvin was blogging as an alias, Mencius Moldbug, which if you look that up, it's a combination of Confucian philosopher Mencius and a play on the term gold bug, which is a term in finances to refer to a person who's bullish on gold. And then I thought, well, I mean, is that what this is all about? Is that really what this is all about? He's just bullish on gold, so he wants to crash the US dollar. And that, and if you think that's crazy, when you get into the crypto bro culture, they're always rooting for the downfall of America and the U.S. dollar. Not always. Oftentimes, they're rooting for the downfall because they're invested in cryptos and they want that to be the new thing. I mean, borderline treasonous sometimes, right? It's like, dude, if you don't like America and the American way of life and the American dollar, then get the hell out, right? Love it or leave it, Tommy. Tom Cruise said it best. And it's also interesting that gold bugs, these people bullish on gold, are obsessed with the conspiracy theories about gold missing from Fort Knox. Well, that's interesting, because wasn't that literally just in the news about Elon Musk trying to audit Fort Knox? So this Curtis Yarvin guy kind of came out of nowhere. He's a computer programmer living in Berkeley in the 90s, dropped out of a PhD program, worked some various jobs, funded his own intellectual sabbatical, and he was, during this time period, he was reading a bunch of fascist philosophies, and he came up with this concept called formalism, which is kind of the most anti-democratic ideas of the Dark Enlightenment. And it, in this formalism, it advocates for a type of anarchy, but not monarchy as in the royal bloodlines, like the divine right to rule, that the, you know, king and queen of England type stuff. It's a corporate monarchy, all right? So the critiques of formalism and Dark Enlightenment in general are that this opens us up to a risk of tyranny. Yeah, no kidding. And an oppressive, corrupt dictator with no way for the citizens to vote them out, because you effectively remove all checks and balances and representational democracy. Which Yarvin says those things are bad. He calls those the cathedral. The cathedral is a mix of basically everything about the American way of life. Free press, voting, equality, equal rights, and those kinds of things. He says that's the cathedral and they need to tear it down. So Curtis Yarvin, he started blogging in 2007 on unqualified reservations. And this get picked up by the nerds in Silicon Valley. And they start sharing these blog posts. In fact, he was one of the guys that first used the term red pill in reference to the Matrix. So he has this blog from 2007 to 2013. Then he takes a break and works this project called Urbit, which I'll talk about. And then back in 2020, he starts a new blog called Gray Mirror, where he starts fantasizing about an American coup. Let's talk about this Urbit project. From 2013 to 2019, he founded this project with a funding from Peter Thiel. And Julia Black, the researcher, she describes it as a company similar to what you see on the HBO show Silicon Valley, which I watched every episode of that series. If you recall, they had a Levian Satanist on that show. And the Urbit was a, she explains it as a new internet to replace the internet. I don't understand that, but we'll talk about it in a sec. But that was the plot line of Silicon Valley on HBO. And on the show for HBO, it was like this idealistic, nice thing. But Urbit has a darker side because it worked on class structure, a feudalism, they call that, like having classes of folks. Guess which class we're in? Not a good one. Mark Andreessen invested in Urbit. So Thiel, Andreessen, they're sort of part of the mainstreaming and funding of Curtis Yarvin. All right. So Urbit, if you get into what that really was, it was a messaging app. And Curtis Yarvin actually created the company based upon a company he had founded called Teon to build it. And the name Teon is modeled after a story by Jorge Luis Borges. He was a writer of magic realism. And magic realism just means you're mixing magic with reality. Duh, as if you didn't put that together. You see this in films like The Holy Mountain by Jodorowsky, Edward Scissorhands, Twin Peaks, and apparently, Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis. I wouldn't know because you can't stream it anymore, legally. I'm still waiting to watch that. So anyway, this this company he founded called Teon was based upon Borges' book titled Teon Ukbar Orbis Tituris. I feel like I just read a magical spell. Uh-oh. The genie gonna pop out? And the plot line of that story reveals a society of intellectuals named Orbis Tertius. Jeez, sorry. And these intellectual societies, they studied Hermeticism and Kabbalah. And he compares it to the Illuminati and the Freemasons. And their goal was to create a new country called Ukbar. But they end up getting persecuted and end up in America 2 centuries later with this eccentric millionaire member, Ezra Buckley, who's trying to take over not only the country, but the entire world. And he says they should write an entire encyclopedia about this world named Teon, and it must be written, and that the whole scheme have no pact with that imposter Jesus Christ. Okay. And if you look into the storyline, I haven't read it, I just read the synopsis. In the story, they have this perspective of living without God as common sense, which is, if you read 3001, The Final Odyssey, that's what they talk about. because Commander David Bauman, who's like, you know, frozen in space, gets captured in space in 3001, and they wake him up, and he's like in his 1960s frame of reference and talking about religion and God and stuff, and they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, you know, religion, do you guys have God? And they're like, no, that's so silly, you know. And that's kind of what this is. And then also in the story, it pushes this cosmic consciousness idea, the perennial philosophy, like God as a person doesn't exist. We're all part of one unified field. It's kind of what they believe. So you can see right there, Curtis Yarvin named his company after this. And it embodies his sort of atheist hatred of Christians. So there you go. Illuminate confirm. Now, Julia Black says that Curtis's father was a member of the deep state that he hates so much. And I was like, what? So I looked it up. His grandparents on his father's side were Jewish American communists. And his father, Herbert Yarvin, worked for the U.S. government as a diplomat. And his mother was a Protestant from Westchester County. And then I went on Twitter at Mopeng, M-O-P-E-N-G, posted in February, just recently, some Curtis Yarvin family connections, like his brother Norman, who works with, allegedly works at DARPA, but definitely has affiliations with it. So there's a lot of weird things going on here, for sure. So let's talk about the Teal Curtis Yarvin connection. The tech industry in the 2000s was sort of leaning to the right towards libertarianism. And she says that Peter Thiel starts questioning some pretty wild ideas of being anti-democratic, where like, hey, should women be allowed to vote? Is this democracy thing even good? And Curtis Yarvin also simultaneously is like, yeah, I kind of wonder that too. And at the time, Peter Thiel was interested in the Seasteading Institute. Now, these are these floating cities where there's no government. This is literally the 15-minute cities, the network state. We're going to talk about this in part four. It's described as autonomous mobile communities on seaborne platforms operating in international waters. Maybe it's more like Waterworld. I don't know. Never seen Waterworld. Can you believe that? So the idea is that they can make these cities in the water more than 200 miles from the shore, and there would be no government laws. And Peter Thiel was like, that's what I want. So he starts donating hundreds of thousands of dollars in seed capital for this to happen, because they were planning on doing it by San Francisco, you know, near Silicon Valley in the 2010s. But I don't know. It wasn't working. I don't know. It didn't happen. So I think they were just like, okay, let's just take America over, I guess. But I'm like, no, nerds, go wherever you want. Go live your best life. You know, go. You want to make smart cities in the ocean? Knock yourself out. You want to go to Mars? Head for it. Leave us alone. Leave us out of your problems. Go see a therapist. Go talk to a woman. Go touch grass. Then she talks about this guy, Blake Masters, who was in one of Peter Thiel's Stanford classes, and how Curtis Yarvin was influenced by Blake Masters. And if you read Peter Thiel's book, 0 to 1, it talks about some of these things back then. And I bought this book and read it. He was saying, and don't bother, it's a terrible book. He was saying that basically all of Curtis Yarvin's stuff out loud in 2014. And apparently Thiel also wrote a similar essay in 2009 for the Cato Institute called The Education of a Libertarian. And it's the same themes over and over. It's look, we need to gut the democracy and the government. We need to get rid of diversity. We need to remove regulations. We need to remove social programs. We need to instill a cryptocurrency reserve. Literally all these things are happening right now, regardless of how you feel about any one of those. You got to keep your, I studied systems thinking in college. You got to keep your eye on the prize here, the big picture. What are we doing? So even if you're like, well, yeah, I hate DEI, trans, hires or whatever. Like, first off, show them some love. What's wrong with you guys? Don't be so mad. But even if you're like, yeah, I hate all that stuff, you need to get rid of it. Because there are elements of it that, because I'm moderate, right? I'm very moderate. And some of that DEI stuff, I'm like, okay, I don't know, man. Like, some of this is a stretch too far. Anyway, I don't want to get so boxy on you, but the point is there's a big picture here. And this is how they appeal. This is like those wedge issues, right? Like, they get you upset about gay marriage because there's like all these, you know, religious implications there. So they get you to on their side. But like, they've got way worse things in mind, you know? And it's like, if you're like, oh, I hate food stamps. I don't like people getting food stamps. Well, I just want you to know it doesn't stop there. That's how they get you. It's the, what do they call that? The gateway drug. They're like, yeah, we'll take away those food stamps, and then we're going to take away all your rights. How do you like that? And this is all these books and all this literature, they say the same thing over and over. I'm here to tell you right now, this is the plan, and this is what they're doing right now. That's why they're going to gut go Social Security. That's why they want to get rid of Medicare, Medicaid, disability, all these things. Because they believe in social Darwinianism, a literal satanic doctrine. That's what this is. It's this nonsense thing that's going to drive up crime. And when it drives up the crime, welcome to your authoritarian, tyrannical police state. Your dystopian cyberpunk hell. Anyway, in the book, 0 to 1, he references Golden Ages. Well, what do you know about that? He talks about how he and Elon merged PayPal and X to survive the 90s.com bubble. I'm going to read you a quote. He says, lessons to learn from the dot-com bubble don't make or buy into grand visions. Move incrementally because grand visions make bubbles expand. That's what they're doing. They're gradually implementing this system. He even quotes the Unabomber. He says the Unabomber said the key to happiness is having goals. Oh, boy. Let's see what else. He says startups are important. They have this fantasy of startup small businesses, right? That's why you keep hearing Elon talk about how terrible the government is and how great we need to just run it like a startup and have people sleeping under their desks. He says startups are important because they are small and nimble and can invent new tech and ideas as opposed to bloated bureaucratic governments. And the most important tell here from Peter Thiel, he says, I'm reading directly from his own words in his own book. He says, the PayPal vision was to create a currency to replace the U.S. dollar. All right. And then to get back to Julia Black, she talks about the tech industry going from a sort of libertarianism to an authoritarianism, which is more aggressive about seizing and assets and things. And the authoritarian streak, she claims, has always been strong in Curtis Yarvin. He wrote a step-by-step plan to turn the next president into a dictator. Huh. That's interesting. The loyalty tests, they even included police putting red armbands on, which is Nazi imagery, which, if you're paying any attention, you've seen lots of that happen. Destroying the free press. Which, like, I get it, right? Like, I criticize the mainstream media, too. Like, they really let you down a lot. And they oftentimes sell out for corporate nonsense. But it doesn't mean you're going to get rid of it and put a state-run media. That's what all the communist dictatorship-type countries do. That's no good. We have an independent press, right? Like, I guess, in a way, part of that, right? So, I don't know. Form your opinion based on a variety of sources. Like, I try to tell you my biases. I did a 3-hour show, Who is Isaac Weishaupt, telling you my biases, just so you know, right? CNN ain't going to do that. Fox News ain't going to do that. They hide their little, you know. But if you pay any attention, you can be like, okay, well, Fox leans right and CNN leans left. Okay, got it. Just know that. You don't need to have a state-run media. And she points out that a lot of the stuff is reflected in Project 2025, by the way. This idea of gutting the U.S. government so that a CEO will have the absolute power to do what they want, replace the free state with the state media, that could be Twitter. Also, the inspiration is that the government can move at the speed of a startup business, as I told you about in the Peter Thiel book. But it requires the destruction of democracy. And the reason they, one of the reasons they have to just go ahead and destroy it is because they can't let you vote on it, right? Because they know nobody wants that. They're just going to do it. She says she interacted with Curtis Yarvin on email. And they talked about the Overton window. And it's this idea that the more you condition people to dangerous ideas, the more they'll eventually accept it. And this is the same philosophy from Joseph Goebbels, the minister of propaganda for the Nazi Party. Repeat a lie often enough and it becomes truth. That's why they plan these little things. That's why they do little... Elon does a little Nazi salute because they're trying to make this acceptable. And the more we give excuses and say, oh, that wasn't what that was, the more that they're going to be empowered to do this stuff. So when you see people on Twitter or podcasts saying outrageous things and trolling people, and what that has an effect in the Overton window. It's desensitizing. It's allowing acceptance of the conversation of these ideas. Kanye West is guilty of this. You know, Curtis Yarvin, he calls the Dark Enlightenment nerds dark elves because he's inspired by the Lord of the Rings. Because, you know, he's a nerd, right? She actually tells a story about going to a wedding that he had in a gothic castle in Berkeley, and all the nerds were there dressed up like elves. She described it as grotesque and tacky. What about Peter Thiel, Mark Andreessen? They spread all the Curtis Yarvin stuff. She says everything Thiel does is methodically planned out. Like I talked about in the book, 0 to 1. He says you got to incrementally do all this stuff. I'm looking at my notes here. There was a thing called Frog Twitter, apparently, in reference to Keck. And Blake Masters was affiliated with this. That's the guy who helped him write that book. Sorry, my notes are really choppy. What the hell was I doing? Anyways, Peter Thiel was... What she was saying was that Peter Thiel and Blake Masters were having conversations with these sort of like Twitter trolls, these Keck trolls. And she was like, isn't that weird? Like, this guy's a billionaire. Why is he talking to these unknown nerds on the internet? And I think it's because I did shows about Keck and the meme magic thing because, again, it's all occult-based. Going back to 2016 and Steve Bannon. She says that Peter Thiel thinks he understands how humans work based on Rene Girard and mimetic theory. That's the Richard Dawkins theory that ties into Keck. And that humans will just kind of copy and paste each other. And that's how ideas work. Elon learned all of this from Peter Thiel. That's why he bought Twitter. He knew he would lose money, but it's an important channel of information and disseminating whatever information they want. Obviously very effective. Then there's talk about dismantling the bureaucratic administration state as a common goal amongst J.D. Vance, Peter Thiel, Project 2025, Trump, and Curtis Yarvin, and all these philosophies. And you see this with them replacing the heads of state from, all these different people that are getting put. Like, for instance, there's a guy who's, like, from the logging industry who's in charge of, the EPA now or something. It's like, you look at this, Linda McMahon running the Department of Education from wrestling, and you're like, what? It's all done on purpose. They're trying to dismantle the government, right? They call it the administrative state, and it's holding them back from making money off of us, is what they believe. The dismantling of the department. And this is from October 2024, this podcast, by the way. And she's like, yeah, they're going to dismantle the Department of Education, currently happening, because Curtis Yarvin wants all educational systems destroyed. And there's no plan to replace them, right? And the host hints that what they covertly want is homeschooling for everybody in the country. And the covert idea is that it's because they want women out of the workplace and back at home. And she says, you'll notice that during the debates, J.D. Vance was very elusive about a lot of this stuff, but you can hear various quotes with him citing Curtis Yarvin. She says even the Koch brothers wouldn't go this far into right-wing libertarian politics. She says that this is the frog in the boiling pot, and it's alarming how fast it could be rolling out, which she said this again back in October of 2024. So I'd be curious to catch up with her today. Mark Andreessen wrote a techno-optimist manifesto in October of 23 saying that his enemies are holding back the tech elites from developing AI, and it's akin to murdering. It's akin to murder to hold back the new AI god. And we're going to talk about this in the next episode. I'm wrapping this up. Where we talk about Nick Land, because Curtis Yarvin is incredibly more boring compared to Nick Land. All right. But they both have the same goals. Again, Mark Andreessen has hosted Curtis Yarvin, written stuff that embodies the Dark Enlightenment theories. She talks about going to a reboot conference that was strange because it had this mix of sort of like Silicon Valley crypto bro types. And then you had the Heritage Foundation and the Institute of Family Studies up there talking about the nuclear family, and the tech bros were like, what? You know, because they're a bunch of like atheists, right? But she says these two are sort of like merging somehow in some weird way. Let's see. The good news, democracy doesn't just happen on election day. There are checks and balances. So she was saying that even if we're under attack, if you hold the line just a little bit, like it's really difficult to destroy the American empire. Even though they're trying it. And this is, you know, before we hit the final topic of this podcast, because I'm wrapping it up here, there's one more thing that they don't discuss. Other than that, it's a great interview if you want an in-depth discussion on it. Curtis Yarvin is also racist. And if you go to Wikipedia, it says he has defended the institution of slavery and has suggested that certain races may be more naturally inclined towards servitude than others. He has claimed that whites have higher IQs than black people, but does not consider himself a white nationalist. He is a critic of U.S. civil rights programs and has called the civil rights movement a black rage industry. And that's where we're going to tie into, like, there's a lot of like eugenics vibes in here and a lot of like Nazi satanic vibes, as you're going to hear when we unpack in parts 2, 3, and 4. And we're also going to talk more about hyperstition. It's mentioned in that interview with Julia Black. And it goes back to Nick Land, our part 2 subject, about making science fiction turn into reality, where writing fiction becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, where words eventually become real, which takes us back to the beginning of the podcast where he played that quote from Julia Black. And this is why they're constantly pushing the limits of free speech. You know, ideas can manifest reality. So in conclusion, Curtis Yarvin, very dangerous, very influential. That's a dangerous combination. And there's a ton of interviews out there if you want more. The New York Times interviewed him. And you'll notice in the, if you look up some images of the guy, in the New York Times interview, he had a full, like, nerd glow up. Like, he's got a leather jacket on, you know. But everything before that, he looks just like a computer nerd, right? But it's interesting because he constantly refers to this FDR inauguration speech where he's like, you know, FDR said he was going to take absolute power over the government. And no one had a problem with that. He literally says, we need to stop being scared of dictators. And he says that the FDR was basically running the country like a startup company with the New Deal, which everyone loves. And George Washington also was a dictator and CEO. And it's interesting. This is what he says in the New York Times interview. He says, I do a speech sometimes where I'll just read the last 10 paragraphs of FDR's first inaugural address, in which he essentially says, hey, Congress, give me absolute power or I'll take it anyway. So did FDR actually take that level of power? Yeah, he did. That's a, you know, yada, yada, yada. But that's not how I read it at all. I went, I'm assuming he's referring to this paragraph because I looked this up, FDR's first inaugural speech. And this is the sort of the end of it. He says, action in this image and to this end is feasible under the form of government which we have inherited from our ancestors. Our Constitution is so simple and practical that it is possible always to meet extraordinary needs by changes in emphasis and arrangement without loss of essential form. That is why our constitutional system has proved itself the most superbly enduring political mechanism the modern world has produced. It has met every stress of vast expansion of territory, of foreign wars, of bitter internal strife, and world relations. And then he says, but in the event that the Congress shall fail to take one of these two courses, and in the event that the national emergency is still critical, I shall not evade the clear course of duty that will then confront me. I shall ask the Congress for the one remaining instrument to meet the crisis, broad executive power to wage a war against the emergency, as great as the power that would be given to me if we were in fact invaded by a foreign foe. And this is in response to the Great Depression, because we needed something because people were starving to death, right? Now, he literally talks about the importance of the Constitution. So why does Curtis Yarvin say we need to tear it up? It doesn't make any sense. I think these people are fueled by greed and demons. So, what did we uncover here? What do we keep in mind for part two? The idea that Curtis Yarvin, an influential person in the current state of affairs, wants to dissolve the entire government. The cathedral, he calls it. Social programs, academia, media, religion, Christianity, and replace that all with a state-run media, an authoritarian CEO. You know, he said we need to get over our dictator phobia, network states, 15-minute cities, and tech elite billionaires doing whatever they want, a mix of eugenics affiliation in there. He's fine with race and gender discriminations because, like he said, whites have higher IQs than blacks, as he believes. He also claimed that Hitler was just defending himself, and that our interpretation of World War II was written by communists. He borderline defended Anders Breivik, that psychopath that shot and murdered 77 children in, Norway? And he wants to do all of this very fast. He subscribes to accelerationism, which we're going to unpack in part two. And, you know, there's still some questions, right? It's like, how does white nationalism fit into this? Why do we have sort of pro-Israel people mixed in with neo-Nazis, mixed in with evangelicals trying to rebuild the Temple of Solomon, mixed with atheist nerds from Silicon Valley? We're going to find out what their common goals are and their common inspirations as we go through this series. In our next episode, we're going to talk about Nick Land and accelerationism and how it ties into Balenciaga stuff, Aleister Crowley, the occult, cyberpunk, the CCRU. This is where part two gets super fascinating because it supports a lot of the ideas of symbolism and synchronicity studies that we've done over the years. It's going to be incredible. So make sure you're staying subscribed to the podcast, okay, folks? And I've got one last call to action for you. While I'm yammering at you for just 1 minute, pull out your little phone, drop me a 5-star. I asked you for this a couple weeks ago. Lots of you just did it. Thank you very much. I read them. It makes my day. It makes me feel good to read those. Even if you have something critical to say, I need a 5-star. I'll read your critical little comment. But drop a 5-star because I got 1-star haters out there. And you know who the 1-star haters are going to be? All these nerds. Angry that I'm revealing their plans. And I normally say this as a way of supporting the podcast. I feel a higher calling on this. I feel like this is really it, folks. Listen up, folks. They're really trying to bring AI into our world, and they want to shove us into the Matrix. I'm telling you, this is what their plan is. I've been telling you since 2012. Go get my free book, by the way, IlluminatiWatcher.com. Links are always in the show notes. But this has always been the plan, and it's shocking. It's upsetting. I'm losing sleep. You wouldn't believe the amount of stress and anxiety I'm going through. I'm stress eating. It's misery. I really do feel passionate about this subject because I'm looking at it all. I'm like, dude, this is exactly what's happening. How could we be folding into this? So anyway, leave a 5-star review because that supports the show a ton. If you really love the show, if you really want to support my work, sign up for one of the supporter feeds, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher or IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section or Apple Premium. Okay. Now, Patreon, they sent me notification that if you apparently, from what I'm told, If you have the Patreon app on your phone, like maybe you already support someone else and you're like, oh, I'll get on there, and you go to sign up for my Patreon, apparently it's going to charge you like $13-14 a month because Apple takes a huge fee when you do it that way or something like that. So what you need to do is go on your laptop, on your desktop, go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You can sign up. It's $5. Go ad-free. Unlock hundreds of bonus episodes, early access, the works, tube-free books, all kinds of stuff. Okay? And Patreon's the most popular. The community is what makes it great. I can read your comments and your feedback about the show. You can direct message me. I get through those about once a month. You're going to love it. Okay? So there you go. 5-star review. Support the feed if that's your jam. And until next time, stay positive.